Take the back of your bulletin and read with me from John chapter 10 today. The title of our message is What the Good Shepherd Says About His Sheep. John 10 and verses 24 through 30. Ready? Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You may be seated. Now keep your Bibles open there in John chapter 10. I want to read some more verses today in reference to the Good Shepherd. I'll be reading the remainder of the text from the original King James Version. Beginning in verse 1 of John 10. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. But when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Look down in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come, they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf cometh and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. May God bless the reading of His Word today as we consider today Jesus' description of Himself as being the Good Shepherd and what He says about his sheep. Keep your Bibles open there as we begin first in verse 26 is that Christ's sheep believe on him. That is the first characteristic that Jesus would have us to identify Christ's sheep as being. There we read, But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. Now this particular chapter in its setting sets before us Jesus having to rebuke some of those who were not sympathetic to him. And he makes a distinction between them and those that make up his sheep. And he keeps repeating those words over and over again. My sheep, my sheep, my sheep, you are not of my sheep. So it's very clearly identified that Christ's sheep Characteristic number one is that they believe on Him. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So believing is the first characteristic of being one of God's sheep. Now, I would have you note, it is not by believing that we become one of God's sheep. It is because we are God's sheep that we believe. Christian conversion, contrary to the popular belief, it does not involve God changing goats into sheep. Catch that? Christian conversion is not the process of God changing goats into sheep. It is God sending His Son into the world as the great shepherd to seek and to find His sheep. And the first characteristic of publicly identifying these sheep is that they believe upon Him. Follow with me over in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15. Yes, these sheep are lost sheep, but they're still Christ's sheep. He knows them before they're ever saved. Luke chapter 15 and verse 3. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. So here's 100 sheep, one's lost. 99 are already in the fold. They've been brought safely there by the work of the Good Shepherd. Now then, he leaves those that are in the fold and he seeks out after the one sheep which is lost. But I want you to note particularly, it is a sheep. It's not a goat. I repeat again, Christian conversion is not God changing goats into sheep. It's Christ finding his lost sheep. He goes out into the highways and byways and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're a Christian today, you're one of those sheep, and I can identify you publicly because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christ's sheep hear His voice. Back in verse 27 of our text in John 10, My sheep hear My voice. Now, there were some present that did not believe or hear His voice, but His sheep recognized His voice as being their shepherd. And more than that, they do more than just what we associate the word hear as describing. For the word that's translated here, hear, means heed, H-E-E-D, obey. His sheep do not just hear, but they heed His voice, and they come at His call. So they obey the voice of the great shepherd, second characteristic of His sheep. Now, how do we hear our shepherd's voice today? Primarily through His word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that we open up the text that is found in the pages of this book, God's Holy Bible, and we are enabled to be given spiritual ears to hear. Jesus would say on various occasions, He that hath ears, let him hear. Well, all of those publicly there could hear His voice, but only His sheep heeded His voice. There was a special hearing ability given unto them to where they recognized His voice. Just like maybe an animal or something, a dog or something has gotten lost. And when they hear the voice of their owner, they come running as such. That's what Christ's sheep does do. We're often accused of teaching in the doctrine of irresistible grace that God saves people against their will. That's not the case. He just makes them willing so that they come willingly and freely. You can't stay away when you hear this voice because you recognize it's the voice of your Savior and you come at His call. Do you heed His teaching? Do you follow out after Him? Do you endeavor to measure up to its standards? This is what the sheep of Christ's pasture do. And it is a test by which we can tell who is a sheep and who is not. Christ's sheep take heed to His voice and they obey His voice. Thirdly, Christ's sheep are identified in that they are known by Him. Look at verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them. Look back up in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Here's a personal, intimate relationship. Think of that. He knows the names of every one of His sheep. Even though it's a huge flock, it's going to be drawn out of this present world of lostness and darkness. Jesus knows His sheep personally. And He calls us by name. We're not just part of a large flock out here, although that is true. But we are an individual in that flock, known personally by Jesus Christ, having been given to Christ by the Father, so that He will not lose a one of those sheep. He knows each of them by name. To the stranger that attempts to enter the fold, the sheep would all look alike. But when the shepherd enters, something different takes place. For He knows each one of the sheep as belonging to Himself. All this is true, for the Lord who loves us, who is our shepherd, knows us through and through. You realize He knows you better than you know yourself. And He knew this before He ever called you unto salvation. He knew all about me, all of my faults and shortcomings. And in spite of all of that, He still loved me and called me to be one of His own. How humbling that is. Christ's sheep are known by Him. He knows each one individually, and He knows each one intimately, in detail. Fourthly, Christ's sheep follow Him. Looking also in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Here we have an amplification of the same truth back in verses 4 and 5. When He puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have a protection that is built around you to keep you from being influenced by false prophets and false teachers. You ought to thank God daily that He gives you spiritual ears to where that you can detect a false prophet and a false teacher. That you know this is a hireling. This is not the shepherd that has called you. He's given you spiritual ears to protect you from false teaching and false prophets, to bring about apostasy and prevent your falling away. And if you realize it, sheep are silly. They really are. They don't have a whole lot of wisdom. I have a good friend that for a while he raised sheep. He's got a little booklet describing all the characteristics of sheep. And in that little booklet, he brings out that whoever wrote the poem, "Mary Had a Little Lamb," sure didn't raise sheep. Remember how it goes? Mary had a little lamb, and what's the rest of it? His fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And then the latter part of it is that when the little sheep gets lost, just leave it alone, and it'll come home, wagging its tail behind him. But my friend says, that is not what a sheep does. A sheep is dumb. Once it's lost, it'll never find its way back. It requires the shepherd to go out and find it. He also has little antidotes in there, things that I never knew. That a sheep is so afraid of wolves and the coyotes and things like that, that they will actually turn over and upside down and have all their 4 feet just like this in fear. They cannot move. Sheep are silly. Sheep are dumb. Yet that's what Christ calls you and me. Now, does that offend you? No. Because if you're honest, you'll take care. You'll notice that. That's what we are. Oh, we're so prone to go astray. But Christ stays with us, and His sheep follow Him. Fifthly, Christ's sheep possess eternal life. Verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They possess eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? Well, the first characteristic is everlasting life. It never ends. We are said that when we believe in Christ, we have passed from death unto life and shall not return to a state of condemnation. That's eternal security. The churches and the teachers that teach that one of Christ's sheep, you can be a sheep one day and a goat the next day. And then you can become a sheep the third day and then become a goat the fourth day, in and out. If Jesus says that His sheep have eternal or everlasting life, that's the shortest eternity I ever heard of. A one day or perhaps a 1 minute eternity until you sin again, in and out. I had a minister confront me one time with this matter of verse 9, chapter 10. And this was his understanding of the teaching in the Bible for falling out of grace or falling from grace. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out. I won't mention the name of the denomination that he was a member of. But what he believed that was saying is that you can go in, and then the next day or the next time you can go out. Oh my, I never cease to marvel at the interpretation of Scripture as we find it in the various churches. So eternal life is everlasting life. Secondly, eternal life is spiritual life. It's not just physical life, it's spiritual life. It's divine in its nature. By nature we are dead in trespasses and sins, but God hath quickened us and made us alive by the miracle of regeneration. We receive a new life Except a man be born again, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. But eternal life is also abundant life. It's a life more than just living for temporal possessions and things in this life. And fourthly, eternal life is the knowledge of Christ. Look in John chapter 17, verse 3. I'll read verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is more than just endless life. It's a quality of life that makes life worth living. Knowing Christ gives meaning and purpose to life and enables us to face today and the future without fear, knowing that we are in His hands as such. Number 6, Christ's sheep are eternally secure. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then also in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. That's eternal security. I think it's Allstate, the ad on television. You're in good hands with Allstate. You're in good hands if you're in Christ's hands. Another preacher of another denomination was trying to tell me one time in our discussion of eternal security, which he did not believe in. He said, yes, all that is true is that nobody shall be able to pluck us out of God's hands, but I can pluck myself out. Then you can put yourself in. The whole thing then is resting on you, and God just is a standby watcher of what you're doing. In one day and out the next day. What a precious verse this is for God's people. Down through the ages, they have eternal life. Verse 28, they shall never perish, verse 28. They are safe in Christ's hands, verse 28. And they're also in the Father's hands, in verse 29 and 30. Do you ever wonder whether or not that you're saved and that you'll reach the end of the journey out here of your life and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? How can you be assured of that? Not if it's resting upon your ability to come in and go out as you please. There's absolutely no grounds for assurance in that basis. But we can be assured if we belong to Christ. And we know that we can know that we belong to Christ when we love Him. Do you love Christ today? Do you heed His voice? Do you seek to follow Him? Do you confess your sins when you fail? All of these are characteristics of a sheep that belongs to Jesus Christ. Lastly, number 7, Christ's sheep are the Father's love gift to Jesus. Look in verse 29 of the text. My Father who gave them me is greater than all. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that comes I will in no wise cast out. How humbling. I find this to be a moving thought. That God would give an old blaspheming atheist to Christ as His love gift. Think of that. Think of all the wicked sins that Christ's sheep have participated in. Your sin, your drunkenness, and so forth, that you've described. that God would take a drunkard and say, "Here, Jesus, this is yours"? No. In spite of all of that impurity, he loved us. He said, "Son, here they are. Now you go find them and seek them out. Live a sinless life on their behalf. Die a substitutionary death on the cross and pay the penalty for their sin. Rise again to the third day and be seated here at my right hand. And rule there till all of your enemies are made your footstool. Then go forth with the sound of the trumpet and bring them all safely home." The Father can say to the Son on that day, "Are they all here, Son?" "Yes, Father, everyone whom you gave me is here and accounted for. Not a one of them is lost. They're all safely found and in the fold." That's security. We are the Father's love gift to Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to love Him and serve Him all the remaining days of my life. If this be the last day, or I be given a number of months and years yet, I want to do what is well-pleasing in His sight. For He's my shepherd. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Let's look to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for Your kindness in sending the Good Shepherd to seek and to save His sheep. And how He knows His sheep, and how His sheep know Him and come at His call. Thank You for the security that His sheep possess by being in Christ's hands and Your hands as well. That Your decrees and eternal election before the foundation of the world set forth that He was the Lamb slain from the foundation. That our fall in Adam was not something that happened outside of Your plan, but occurred within Your plan, in that Your Son would come and seek and save and redeem fallen, guilty sinners and raise them up to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank You, Lord, for saving our soul. Oh, thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and so free. In Christ's name, amen.